If you would, please open your Bibles at Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And if you would, let us stand when we read God's Word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. So far our scripture reading. You may be seated. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we're here in the beginning of a new year, and we start with a new series of sermons in the book of Genesis. In the 34 years of ministering, I've never preached through the book of Genesis as a series of sermons, and I thought it's about time. The name of the book Genesis is the Greek name. It's named after the Greek name of this book, which means origin. The Hebrew name is Bereshit, meaning in the beginning. That's the first word of the book, in the beginning. And although Genesis does not say who the author of this book is, we learn it from the New Testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself said that Moses wrote about him, and also on the way where he was on his way teaching the disciples in Emmaus, on his way to Emmaus, he said he laid out the gospel from the beginning, how Moses was writing about him. Now, the 50 chapters of Genesis could be intimidating to think that you're going to preach through these 50 chapters, one after the other, one verse after the other. And we need to remember when we go through this that this book is written in the historical narrative, which often you take bigger pieces and more verses to read together and preach about. However, there are passages in this book where we will have to focus quite deep and stay on it for a while. And this is what verse 1 is of this book. And I do plan to stay and preach on verse 1 several times. Genesis is such an important book in the Bible that it should not be overlooked. Especially the beginning of this book sets the tone for the rest of the Bible. It shows us where the rest of the Bible is going. It's not by accident that the name of God, Elohim, is the subject of the first sentence. And when you read just through this creation account, you will see that God is mentioned 35 times. The first sentence of this book is about Genesis. The first chapter of this book is about God. And the first book, the whole book of Genesis, about God, and that sets the tone so that the rest of the Bible is about God. And so, my brother and sister, it is so important to get this first chapter right. the first verse right, when you don't get the creation account right, when you are wrong in your interpretation of this account, you will most likely be wrong with interpretation of the rest of the Bible. There are many professing Christians who do not believe in the six literal day creation account. But let us be warned, the hermeneutics that would allow you to misinterpret this first chapter of creation, of the creation account, would also lead you to misinterpret the rest of the Bible. Hermeneutics is just a fancy word about what the science of interpretation and explanation is. And so if you interpret this wrong, you most likely will also interpret and misinterpret accounts like Jonah and the birth of Christ and the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a very important chapter and a very important book. And so when we start with verse 1 today, I want you to notice that this is a very sophisticated account and presentation of what happened in the beginning. The author, Moses, made sure that those who read this account would understand beyond any doubt who this God is that created the universe. He wanted them to understand beyond any doubt what his characteristics are, what his attributes are. And with this account, he wanted to lay for the people the foundation of a worldview of the covenant community. He's laying down here the worldview for us. Some scholars agree that this was probably written when Israel was trekking through the desert to their promised land. And so we need to put ourselves in the shoes of these Israelites as they are going through the desert and they read what Moses wrote here. Moses was telling this history to them, saying, "Behold your God. Remember who your God is, who is with you here in the desert. See this magnificent, see this most powerful, majestic God as he holds you in his hands on your way to the promised land. See what a powerful, what a sovereign God it is that is accompanying you on this trek, this 40-year journey to the promised land." A person who did a lot of research and a lot of writing concerning the creation is Henry Morris. And he said, if a person really believes Genesis 1:1, he will not find it difficult to believe anything else recorded in the Bible. That is, if God created all things, then he controls all things and can do all things. End of quote. And so the Israelite on this trek knew that the God who created in such a wonderful way these things is the God on their way, and therefore they are safely in his hands. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, look there at verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. And so here Paul makes the case that all people in all parts of the world are accountable to God because of the creation, because of what God created and how He created. And you heard the question, so what about the man there in the middle of the jungle of Africa who never heard the gospel? Is it fair to hold him accountable? Paul says, since the creation of the world, God has revealed Himself to everyone, even to the man in the jungle. God made Himself known through His creation. God has shown Himself through His creation to all people. And so especially the man in the middle of the jungle in Africa, the jungle man has a bigger view of God's creation than the one dwelling in the city in concrete. Everyone is obligated to glorify God because God has made Himself known through the creation. The problem is that man forgets God's glory very quickly. We forget it too quickly. Moses started, and by the way, that's why Martin Luther said we need to read the Bible every day, because we forget it every day. And so Moses started this book by showing in a very sophisticated way that we all should stand in awe before this Creator God. The Creation Museum, I think, does an excellent job with his planetarium to help the visitor who sits there and go through their tour to understand why we should stand in awe before this God. For those who have been there before, it is impressive. You know, I had this kind of experience as a very young boy. I was probably 6 or at the most 7 when we were on a hunting trip in Africa with my dad and my older brother. He's 9 years older than I and some others. And there in the clear sky on a clear night, which in the winter it's almost always clear, when you look up, you can see the Milky Way very clearly. And one night, as my dad and my brother were sitting there around the fire, I took my rifle and I looked through this telescope to the Milky Way. And I was amazed to realize this is galaxies of stars and meteorites and whatever. I just knew this is awesome. This is what God made. I haven't seen it before. And I was so excited, I called my dad and my brother and said, you need to see this, as if they have never seen it. You see, this is what Moses is trying to show us here, that we need to see the awe. We need to be in awe for what God has done in the creation. We need to see this. This is the kind of awe God wants us to have as we look at this account. And as we go through this creation account through the next few weeks, it is my prayer that every one of us will be awestruck by the infinite power, the infinite majesty, the infinite wisdom that God has, and He is displaying to us in His creation. So maybe I need to ask you now, do you believe in the 6 literal day creation? Do you believe that God spoke His creation into being in in just 6 days? If you do, are you in awe of this majestic God that created the whole universe by just speaking? Just speaking it into existence. Remember, this majestic God is also your personal Savior. Remember, He is the God that guards your steps. He is the guard that protects you. He is the same God that provides in all your needs. The question, where did we come from, is a very profound question and a very important question. Even little children ask their mothers, don't they? Mom, where did I come from? The world who hates God answer this question by saying 13.7 billion years ago, there was this Big Bang. There was absolutely nothing. And in that nothingness, nothing, there was this magical Big Bang, and from that Big Bang, you have everything we have in the universe. All the galaxies. There's over 100,000 million galaxies. All those galaxies came from nothing when a Big Bang just suddenly took place. Our sun, our moon, the earth, the beauty and how wonderfully everything works together came from this Big Bang. This whole belief is so absurd. I am amazed at people's idiocy that they would believe such an irrational explanation. It amazes me that people would decline this account and this explanation of the creation and believe such an irrational explanation like the Big Bang. The one who was there, the one who was there when everything was created, He tells us how it happened. He tells us how it occurred. And He said, our God was there. God was there even before the beginning. He did not have a beginning. He was there from eternity past. And by His creative and powerful and majestic and sovereign and all-wise hand, He created everything. In the beginning, God, it says, from nothing came everything, simply because of His powerful and majestic and this sovereign God spoke it into existence. He spoke. And there it was. You see, the unbelieving scientist does not have an answer to what was the first cause. What caused this Big Bang? What caused this all to happen? There is no answer. There's just silence. But the Bible is clear. God is the first cause. God is always the first cause in all actions. Everything that happened, even today, God is still the first cause. It's because God so willed that you and I believe that we are believers today. It's through Him being the first cause. He's the first cause of everything that happens. Everything that happens because God so ordained it to happen. Genesis 1:1 declares not only that everything came from God. It does not only declare that God is the source of the whole creation, but it shows us God is also the subject of the teachings of the rest of the Bible. And so, the name of God that is being used here in verse 1 is Elohim, which is very significant in itself. This is the name of God the Father. He is the Creator God. And by the first time these readers read what Moses was writing here, and they read the name Elohim, they understood that He is the covenant God. He is the God of Abram and Jacob, or Isaac and Jacob. He was the loving, He was the faithful God. Elohim was the God they knew that was with them in the desert. And they knew that there was no other gods but Elohim. Now, what is interesting in the Hebrew, the word Elohim is written in the plural form. In Hebrew, they use the majestic plural. Some people want to make out and say that here we already see in just His name, the Trinity, but this is not correct. We do see the Trinity in the creation, but not in His name. It's also called the honorific plural. In other words, this majestic or honorific plural is used to explain the majesty of this single person. He is so majestic. He is so totally different than us that you cannot give His name in the singular. It has to be in the plural. God's majesty and His power is expressed in His name by writing His name in the plural form. My brother and sister, when you and I read these words, we should receive the greatest comfort from it. He who is so powerful, He who is so sovereign and exalted way above His own creation, is also involved in His creation. He is involved personally, therefore, in you and my life. And how do we know that? We know that because of Genesis 1:1. At least when you read the Psalms, you see this often, how the authors find comfort in that. Look at with me at Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Look there at verse 1. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Creator God, the most powerful, majestic God, He is the one that will help me. See, God is invested in His creation. He is involved in it. He's a personal God who is involved in our lives. And yes, He's exalted far above His own creation, yet He is involved in His creation. We are not left to ourselves. Nothing can overcome Elohim. He has been there before the beginning. He's been there from eternity past. He who had no beginning, He who spoke the whole universe into existence, He's involved in our affairs. What more do you want? What more do you need? And that which God starts, we know He finishes. What an extreme comfort. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Hebrew word for creation there is used is bara. There are many words in Hebrew that could describe creation or something that is being made, But this word bara is used only in connection with God, Elohim. Bara is exclusively used with God. And when the word bara is used, God is always the subject. In other words, it's only God that's able to bara. This word carried the meaning of infinite power, of infinite might. It's only God that created everything out of nothing. And so it carries this motion of infinite wisdom and transcendence that leaves us mortals without words. Only Elohim can create it something ex nihilo. In other words, only God can create out of nothing. The all majesty God spoke, and from nothing the whole universe was formed. You see, when we want to make something, we need material. We make furniture and we need wood. We need steel to build bridges and to make things. We need platinum to make fiber optics and hard disk drives. But all these things we need, even wars have started because of the raw materials that people need to live. But all these things God just spoke into creation. He's the only one that can bara, that can create in this way. The chapter in the Bible that speaks about saving faith in Hebrews chapter 11 speaks of the extreme importance of God creating the universe. If you want to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. And here we will see the extreme importance of God creating the universe out of nothing. Let's start there at verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. He says, this is saving faith. Do you believe God spoke everything into creation? Do you believe Him as if He says He has done it in the space of 6 days? You see how God explains to us here in Hebrews chapter 11:3 that God tells us that the doctrine of ex nihilo, the doctrine of creating everything out of nothing, is an extremely important teaching for the Christian faith. Why? Well, if you don't believe it, you don't believe the God of the Bible. You call Him a liar. And so, my brother and sister, if you do not believe what God is telling us in Genesis 1, repent. For you are calling the God of the Bible a liar. We have some beautiful places of God's creation here in Greene County. And when I stand on the top of Viking Mountain or Meadow Creek Tower and look the over God's creation, I'm often in awe about how beautiful it is that God made the world. And there's so many beautiful places in the world, but then we are reminded that there are 100,000 million galaxies in the creation. And God created every molecule of how He made the creation. Verse 1 states that God created heaven and earth. And referring to heaven and earth is simply saying that God created everything. It's called a merism. Merism is a statement of opposites to indicate totality. In other words, when I say I have to take care of you day and night, we're not speaking about darkness and light. We're speaking about all the time. And in the same way, when the Bible says God created heaven and earth, or the heavens and earth, He's speaking of everywhere. He created everything. It means the whole universe. It means everything that exists. So yes, God did create Viking Mountain. And He did create the area around the Meadow Creek Tower. But He also created all the other galaxies. And the little spider. And the hummingbird. He did it all. God created every planet, every rock, every speck of dust in the whole universe. What an awesome God it is that we are worshiping. What an awesome God it is that saved us. Apparently, you know, I remember when the first man walked on the moon, I was a little boy, but it impressed me. I remember it on the radio. And I had this vision of what's happening here. But I remember the first man looked at the earth and the creation from the moon. And apparently on the radio, for the whole America at least to hear, he said, "And God created the heavens and the earth." What a sight. How can you help but stand in absolute awe and proclaim with Paul in Romans 11:36, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever." Amen. God spoke through also the prophet Isaiah when he said in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25 and verse 26, "To whom then will you compare me that I would be his equal? Says the Holy One. Raise your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who brings out their multitude by number, he calls them by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing." God says, "How can you compare me to anything, to anybody? I made it all. I know them by name. I made them." I said earlier, the book most probably was written during that period of time as Moses and the Israelites were trekking. And just think how the Israelites sat at his camp, maybe beside the campfire at night, looking up at the stars and confirming to himself, this God who made all this, He's the God that leads us through the desert. The God who made everything by just speaking it into existence is the great majestic God who is redeeming us now from our slavery. See, that same God is the one who redeemed us from our slavery in sin. The original readers were saved from their slavery in Egypt, and they looked back at God's wonderful creation, and they looked at man's misery and sin, and they were reminded of the comfort of this history, that God is the one who made all this. He's still control of it. Providing a Savior, we need to remember, was the plan right from the beginning. The Israelite in the desert found great comfort in this creation account. And so does this creation account not only bring you to awe, but it also does it give you great comfort to know that this is the God who saves me. This is the God who is still in control of everything that happens. Whether I am sick or whether I am suffering or whether I am in trouble, this is my God. You know that this mighty and this sovereign and majestic God is the one who saves you and carries you every day. You know, the gospel of Jesus is a gospel that is founded on this creation account. If you look with me at John, if you want to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of John. We should not be surprised that John start to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ of our salvation, and he starts with the creation, just as Moses did. Doesn't start with his birth. He starts with the creation. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All the things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And so when John starts to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of salvation to us, he starts by reminding us, just like Moses reminded the people in the desert, he starts by reminding us who this God is. He is the Creator God. He is the one that created all these things. And from there, we learn about ourselves, who we are, and we learn what the solution to the problem is that this mighty God provided. The gospel of Jesus Christ is without foundation if we leave the God of creation out of the gospel. It's without foundation. And so the marvelous solution to the problem of mankind, which is sin, is founded in Jesus Christ by this majestic, marvelous God in this wonderful plan of salvation. We learn about this God here in Genesis 1:1. May this bring you great comfort in your daily life. May this bring you back to your knees day after day. For this is the majestic, holy, powerful God that we are worshiping. And may this bring you to worship Him faithfully. For He is the only one worthy of receiving our worship. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord God in heaven, we thank You for this wonderful work of creation. Who are we, Lord, so often even to compare ourselves to You or to stand with our fists in Your face as we rebel? Oh Lord, we pray, forgive us. Humble us that we will understand the big difference between who You are and who we are. Lord, we pray, bring us to a greater desire and a sense of how we should worship You as the Holy One, so that we will bring You glory and never forget Your glory, which is so marvelous. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this account of your creation. We pray, Lord, as we study this section of your word, that we will never look at your creation in the same way again. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.